I am so glad that you all are with me again, and you are in time to join our guest, yours and mine, Mr. Justin Hall. He is a man of courage. Believe me when I say that. He is a man of courage. He is someone who does some exploring in ways that many of us would not, so that he can bring us information that we otherwise would not be able to obtain. He is joining me to talk about a place that many of us may not have heard of, but it is invaluable, and it is on other people's radar. It is a national park called the Virunga National Park. Justin Hall, it is so good to have you with me to talk about this new park. But first, how are you doing?
Thank you so much for inviting me. I'm great. I'm actually in Washington at the moment. I'm here for the National Geographic Symposium. Wonderfully, they're screening the show tomorrow quickly, but it will be available on everyone's screens on the National Geographic channel on the 26th. So really excited to be talking to you.
I tell you what, and I really encourage everyone to have it dialed in 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, 7 Central, as Justin said, June 26th. That's right around the corner. And before we talk about that park, Justin, tell us more about Justin Hall. What was going on in your life that has inspired you, excited you over the years, but also with particular regards to how you ended up doing what you're doing now?
I spent a lot of time as a young man sort of playing with the planet, traveling wildly, and I think that anyone that steps from our shores, from our hometowns into a wider territory, we instantly realize that there's such an incredibly beautiful mosaic of cultures and characters and experiences out there. So as a young age, and not with an unlimited budget, just a man trying to explore the world, I was really quickly sort of catapulted into this, you know, exciting world that I just wanted to know more about. So that was sort of the driver. But I guess the biggest turning point only came when I was about 30 years old. I met with a character at a dinner party in Los Angeles, and 30 is a time when we all sort of question, what is it we're doing? You know, have we achieved anything? What's our life plan? And here was this character dressed in a safari suit, telling stories about at this dinner, telling stories about Kayapo Indians, chief indigenous characters, tribal characters in the middle of the Amazon. And he was such an enthralling guy. And it became apparent that he made documentaries about tribes around the world. And instantly, I sort of flipped in my mind that this was something that I was, you know, instantly passionate about. So that was sort of the turning point.
And now it has you doing work that takes you in places that many of us, again, have never heard of. Some have heard of, but there are other folks who have heard about some of these places, one of those being the Virunga National Park, which you're going to be pointing out is, even though many people have not heard it, is a very, very resource-rich area.
Virunga is just the most extraordinary location. I mean, it's Africa's oldest and largest national park. I mean, for those of your listeners that don't know about it, it's in the North Kivu region of the Congo. Imagine a landscape of buckled mountains, jungle-clad mountains peppered by volcanoes, a beautiful savanna that stretches down to one of Africa's great lakes, Lake Edward. I mean, this place is home to innumerable species, but perhaps most importantly, it's home to perhaps almost half of our world's last mountain gorillas. So the Explorer team and myself thought that it was really important that we went to look at the issues affecting that area and to try and tell the story. There's some incredible work being done by the Virunga Alliance, who are essentially the park rangers that try to defend this area. And I met with the team there who, let's face it, are just heroic. Emmanuel Demarode is the chief warden. I'd met him just 2 weeks after he'd been attacked and shot with machine guns. And he was back at his desk doing what he does, which is defending the park and trying to stave off the forces that try and impact it.
So part of the problem... I'm sorry, go ahead.
I think in watching the show, people will be sort of catapulted into this world where a beautiful location, but a very complex and brutal history with lots of different forces impacting it.
And with one of those forces apparently being that we hear about so often, you know, we hear about elephant poaching, we hear about what's happening with lions, we hear about was the poaching of tigers, but we have this same type of thing. This is one of the issues that is a challenge for the Virunga National Park as well?
Well, certainly there is a threat to the wildlife from the interior of the park, but I think it's the integrity of the park that's really in danger. If you imagine there are about 4 million people that live just a day's walk away from the park's perimeters. And you have to consider that these people are born of an extraordinary history. They have nothing but nature to rely on. So the aims of conservation, to set up a perimeter where you can't use the charcoal to cook your food to feed your family, that creates some form of conflict. So it's a really complex set of circumstances that impact the area.
So you have the people who live there, and again, 4 million within walking distance of the park.
Indeed.
This raises an issue. Oh,
certainly. And I mean, I mentioned charcoal there.
Yes.
And for us, you know, we turn on the gas, we turn on the electric, we can cook our food. But in this part of the world, if you want to cook your food and feed your family, you have to turn to charcoal. And that is an enormous industry, a local industry, that means in the region of about $30 million. And because it's such a huge amount of money, you've got various different groups of militia vying for control of those natural resources. And these groups, one of which we thought it really important to meet with, are called the Mai Mai, sort of roughly banded together groups of young men. And they're particularly tricky to deal with, and you'll see in watching the show. They're comprised of young men from anywhere from 11 years old through to 21, armed with AK-27s, prone to drinking ethyl-based alcohol and smoking ganja, banded together for some sense of power. I met with them, and it was a pretty challenging encounter.
Well, one of the things I'm wondering, Justin, when it comes to these militias and rebel groups, are any of them engaging in that activity partly because of poverty? Does this have to do with something else that is very unrelated to poverty?
I think that you've hit a very interesting chord there, and it's quite tragic, to be honest. If you consider, and not many people will know this, but since 1996 to present, 6 million people have died in one form of conflict or another in this region. So the whole area has, as I've said, suffered a brutal and complex history of marauding teams of people that are vying for control of these natural resources. If your expectation of the day, of your lifetime, is to constantly have whatever you try to build taken away from you, then that forges a really horrid reality. And that was sort of apparent. There is a distinct lack of hope. But I think that's why it's so wonderful to focus on the work of this group, the Virunga Alliance, who are trying in a multitude of ways to address the balance, to try and create infrastructure through the creation of schools and education and electricity, electrifying the region through non-invasive hydroelectric systems, so not flooding areas, but just harnessing the incredible power of the Congo. So that I think that comes to light also.
And you mentioned that something else that is of concern is the role that Western oil giants are playing in making possibly some problems for the park.
That's true. About 4 years ago, a concession, I think it was called Block 5, a sort of a neutral name for what amounts to a huge area of the park, which essentially is a UNESCO World Heritage Site and protected, was put up for sale, and a British company called SOCO were exploring oil and trying to establish whether or not there were oil reserves there. And public outcry wonderfully managed to put that on hold. So currently there isn't a threat for oil exploitation in the region. But if you look at the map of the Congo, the DRC, you pretty much see that all of the area has been carved up into potential commercial concessions. So there's vigilance needed, and that's why it's so important to keep telling these stories.
Well, I am definitely joining you in inviting everyone to listen to the story as it's told when Explorer Battle for Virunga airs Sunday, June 26th at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Justin Hall, thank you so much for joining me to share with us today what you have shared with us that has truly whetted our appetites.
Thank you for your time. Wonderful to speak to you.
Thank you, sir. Till next time, everyone.